Good morning. How you guys doing? It's kind of a pretty day, a little snowy looking, but hopefully we're coming near the end of that. We start a new series today, and I'm going to admit to you, I've got some mixed emotions about this. I've taught, I think I counted last night, something like, 16 or 17 series as adult teacher. And this one scares me the most. The other ones I kind of figured out a way to teach it, and it became kind of easier. This one's a little bit overwhelming for me. We're going to talk specifically about finding God's peace. However, I think this may also be one of the more important ones I've ever taught, particularly in today's environment. I got to say that a lot of people, I think, are really struggling to find some form of peace. Whether it's, they may be looking, obviously, in the wrong place, financial security, perhaps, or, drugs. I mean, there's lots of things people use to try to find peace. And when you start to study a little bit on the medical side of this, the anxiety and the depression, it's just escalating in our culture dramatically. And so, as I was thinking about this topic, I thought this is really important for us to understand. And as I started to read about it a little bit and study it a little bit, I realized that, wow, did I have a wrong understanding of what this was about? And so hopefully, together, we're going to figure out something a little bit more. Now, I got to say that the first 3 weeks are already gone of this term, right? I was traveling for two, and Jim was kind enough to fill in and continue his series. And then last week, I gave you a little bit of an update on Angel's Place based on that trip. By the way, things continue to just go really well. Even in the week I've been back, a lot of great things have happened. So I think things are moving in the right way there. And so, again, thank you for your support and blessing that effort. But today I want to start a new series, and what we'll do in this series is we'll spend the rest of this term, which I guess would be something like 11 more sessions, 10 more sessions, talking about different topics associated with peace. And then I probably will do 3 more sessions and just keep them recorded, so if there's something you want, you can have, you could use them at a later time. Okay, fair enough. So let's start with a word of prayer, please. Father and Lord, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for this beautiful day and for the way that you continue to work in our lives moment to moment, day to day. Father, I ask this morning a special blessing on this class as we strive to understand peace. Father, as we strive to understand who you are relative to peace and what the peace is that you offer and why your son was called the Prince of Peace. Father, we ask that you help us to think and to apply what we learn in this so we can draw closer to you and closer to each other and find the peace you intended for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so those of you that have been in my classes before, you know this is going to be a discussion class because you know more about this topic probably than I do. But I've structured some good questions for you, and I've structured some ideas and maybe a theme or two that we can kind of work our way through. Okay? But let's just start with the general conversation of, do you think that people are struggling with peace right now? They're looking for peace? And what evidence do you have of that? Well, that was an easy answer. That's like the God, Jesus, and Bible answer for the kids, yes. But why do you think that?
Looking at my own family, my parents in particular, my mom struggles with anxiety, depression, plus a list of other problems that she has going on. There is no peace in her life. There is no peace in her clinging to God the way that I see a lot of us in this church do. Really just, we give it to him and he takes care of us. And it's a struggle that she has had for many years now. And she's stuck.
Thank you for sharing that. Are there others that have a family impacted by depression or anxiety? I'm one. Anybody else?
What family don't? That's my
question. Yeah, maybe it's a better, maybe that's a better question, Denise. Yeah.
Stand up if you don't.
Wait a minute. That means I have to sit down. But seriously, I think, you know, individually we see it, right? And we see it in our children. We see it in the people at work. We see it in the people around us. You know, I think it's a big struggle. Other thoughts? Other perceptions? Do anybody else see it? Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, as a preschool teacher, I see it in kids. Uh-huh. Whereas I've never worried about anything when I was growing up. I mean, I didn't have to. My parents were not stressed out, and I wasn't stressed out, but I see it in the kids all the time. They worry about the same things that their parents worry about because they hear about it all the time.
You know, I think I share that perception. It's getting younger and younger and younger. I don't remember worrying about anything until probably dating. You know, I mean, everything else was like fine, you know, up to 22, 23, you know, when I started dating. And joking, of course. But seriously, think about that. I mean, I think it's different. You know, I mean, just think about the neighborhood. I mean, when I was a kid, you could go and run and play in the neighborhood. My father had this whistle. He would whistle. I mean, literally, he would use his fingers to whistle when you could hear it all over the neighborhood. And I could be miles and miles away all day. Now, how many parents would allow that to happen these days? You know, it's just a different, nor should they, by the way, but it's a different kind of concept, man.
I need people who, this is not quite the same as my own personal anxiety, although sometimes they give it to me. But I meet people who seem to just exude anger. Nothing is ever okay. The policeman who stopped me shouldn't have stopped me because I didn't know that rule. Or, you know, like nobody helped me fill out the forms, so therefore I'm not responsible for the consequences. Lots and lots and lots of anger and frustration over circumstances. Or over self-inflicted wounds, and regardless of which it is, the response seems to be anger. And I think a lot of those people make the rest of us anxious and depressed and worried.
Sure. So there are people that are struggling with anger, and its relationship to peace is direct, right? Yeah.
I'm going to add to what Kathy has to say. Mm-hmm. With the kids being so worried about so many things, as adults, I see a lot of them sharing their concerns and worries with 3 or 4-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I was shielded from that. My parents never discussed any issues that came up that were between their marriage with me. You know, yeah. I was a teenager when I recognized a lot of stuff that was going on. I was 15, 16 years old, and I didn't have those worries as a little kid. I think that's where the problem is. You see a child, and you want them to be your friend. Mm. You don't want to parent them and put that barrier between your child and let them be a kid. Versus what the responsibilities are of an adult.
Yeah, I mean, actually, and I really appreciate what happened yesterday. I mean, you know, the kids marching, right? You know what I'm talking about? All the kids marching, you know, for gun violence and things like that. Remarkable. But when I was a kid, I wouldn't have had that same concept. Now, again, things have changed. I realize it's been a long time since I was a kid. But yeah, there is a difference, I think. Anything else you experience or see throughout people with anxiety? Yeah, Donna? You know, what started me thinking, thank you for sharing that, what started me thinking about this was Mike and I, maybe, I don't know, maybe a year ago now, went to a workshop that was called Mental Health First Aid. And it was really designed to help people, first of all, recognize anxiety, depression, and issues associated with that, and then figure out what is the plan or approach to address that. Really interesting resources, you know, for thinking about and understanding issues associated with depression and anxiety and suicide, et cetera. it was very enlightening. And what was also enlightening was just how prevalent this issue is across our community. I mean, there are dozens of organizations that do nothing but try to address people around these issues, to try to provide some form of support from hospitals, obviously, but all the way through kinds of medical health providers and other people, right? And you talk about suicide rates, right? Think about our, you know, even those who are first responders, and the suicide rate of first responders is higher than ever. You know, so there's a lot going on here. But if people are struggling for peace, what is it you think they're looking for? What do they expect? What do you think peace means? Let's just start with that.
Being content in your own shell.
Being content? You say in your own shell?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said shower. Being content in your own shower. Okay. Being content in your own shell. Actually, that is a very wise definition, and we will continue to come back to something very similar to that. So thank you for sharing. But when we normally think of peace, what do we hear? What do we think of? Lack of
war,
lack of conflict, right? Is that what peace is? So if we were able to have no more wars and no more conflicts, would people have peace?
No, that's a global kind of thought. Peace, war, you know. But in your own life, it has to be personal. And you can have conflict in your life, not be peaceful. The rest of the world is doing okay at that moment. So.
Okay. So it's not just about our relationship with other people then, right? Okay, get that. And then there are those of us who, I had a gentleman in my office this week, talented man, very talented man, called me and asked me just for some career advice. So he came over and he sat in my office, and he was in a very high position. In fact, he was the CEO of a company, and the board basically dumped him. And now he's trying to find other employment, and it's been, you know, a while, and he's starting to work through things. And I was trying to help him prepare for some interviews that he had and things like that. And all of a sudden, what became very clear to me was he was struggling because he thought he should be something else. You know, I've always been the highest achiever in my class. He went to Brown, and he has a master's degree someplace impressive, I don't remember where. You know, he has all these things. He was, he's an African-American guy, and so he felt like he was one of the first really to excel to this level, and now he's lost it, and he feels like his life is gone. So even if there isn't conflict around us and things going on, sometimes it seems like we may not have peace with ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't have peace with ourselves. Comfort in our own skin. I think I should be something else. I think I should be somewhere else. I think I should be with someone else. I think, I, you know, all of those things, I don't know about you, all but the last one, of course, churn in my mind a lot, you know, in terms of, wow, what should I be doing? How should I be doing it? And then sometimes, and maybe perhaps most at the core of this, you know, we could find peace with other people and still not be peaceful. We could maybe find peace with ourselves and not be peaceful, but there's another kind of peace that I think people are, by their very nature of being human, struggling with. And that's the peace with God, right? You know, is there a creator? Who is the creator? What's the relationship to the creator? What do they expect of me? What do they not expect of me? What can I expect of them? What do I not expect of them? And truthfully, in my mind, I think that's at the core of a lot of people's losing peace. Maybe we're not recognizing it, but that's at the core. When I was working in San Francisco, I lived here, but when I was working in San Francisco, our kids were very young. I was traveling back to San Francisco a lot. I had an evening with a friend, a coworker, invited me over for dinner. I went to his place, and it was the most, it was a nice place.
But every possible spiritual or mystic thing you could ever imagine was in his house. So there was a Bible, there was a Quran, there was a Ouija board, there were tarot cards, there were... I mean, this guy, for whatever reason, was searching through everything and anything to try to find some connection, right? And was confused by it, frankly, you know, by all of that. So we come together here this morning thinking about peace, and isn't it easy? All we have to say is, well, God says, I'm the God of peace, so therefore, if we give everything to God, everything is done. I wish it was that simple, because I think this is a really, really challenging topic to think about. We're all here primarily because we believe there is a source for peace, right? Peace in my relationship with God that, you know, because of what God has done, I can have peace with him. And therefore, I can have peace with Denise, and I can have peace with other people. I might be able to have peace with myself. But it doesn't seem to me to be that simple as a child's answer of, well, you know, all you got to do is come to God and put it on God, and therefore it's all peace. You will have peace. I find it a struggle. Do you? I mean, day to day to day. You know, when I was looking for things here, I found this book by Charles Stanley. He's the really big tall guy on television that talks a lot, and it was called Finding Peace. A promise of a life free from regret, anxiety, and fear. I thought, cool. And I started to read this. I started to realize something when I started to look at some of the scriptures about peace. And I'm kind of tipping my hand early on here, but I don't think God ever promised us a life free of regret, anxiety, and fear. Do you? I mean, I'd like to say yes. And it feels like I should say yes. But I've come to think, and I could be wrong, that's why this is a discussion, and please, I'm open to your feedback on this, but I've come to think that God gave us a way to handle regret, anxiety, and fear. As opposed to saying, I can completely stop it. I guess... you know, maybe other people, if they are extremely spiritual and have spent time developing that, they can live that kind of life. But I look at Jesus, and do you think he was afraid of the cross? Do you think he exuded some anxiety about that process and about those activities? The difference, however, is he seemed to have a peace that Philippians says transcends understanding, that may be something we could strive to understand. So at least that's the concept I'm looking to talk a little bit about. Looks like Mike made my copies.
Thank you.
That's okay. I just needed, that's the one I wanted. If you could pass those out with me. Great, thank you. Here is an outline of the class that we're going to do. And I like to do this for a couple reasons. One, by the way, the reason I'm speaking louder is I'm recording this, and if I'm over here, they won't hear me. But one of the things I like to do here is to provide you an outline of the kinds of concepts we're going to talk about, and I want to explain to you the kind of materials we're going to discuss and how we're going to go through that. And I'll use this syllabus to do that. The other thing it does is it holds me accountable to keep the topic moving so that we don't end up on one topic for 15 weeks as opposed to kind of moving through this a little bit. So. Great. Perfect. Thank you. So let me just very quickly summarize this for you. Oh, sorry. $3 piece. Everybody got one? So here's the idea. We're going to come back and we're going to spend most of our time this morning on Philippians 4, but
the objectives of this, and I'm calling it a workshop. I'm calling it a workshop because this in an adult class, I get that. But this is an adult class where my job is not to tell you what to do or to explain this concept to you, but to challenge you, to get you thinking about it, and together we'll try to discover some things and understand some things. Okay? So I'm asking you to help us think through this as a group, because truthfully, I don't feel like I have peace on a day-to-day basis, and maybe some of you do, and I need to understand that from you. So I'm calling it a workshop, and here's the three things I'd like for us to try to do together. Understand and claim God's peace. Let's first of all understand, what does God mean by peace? And is it what we normally think of? I mean, think about the number of times, just very quickly, that God set one group of people against another group of people. Now, we wouldn't define that as peace, but even in those times, some of those people had peace. It's an odd thing to think about. Secondly, learn to live at peace with God, ourselves, and fellow man. That's kind of the way I've organized the class. Is that the first 3 weeks we're going to really talk about finding peace with God. And that really means understanding, what does peace mean to God? How can we claim God, claim God's peace, etc. And then thirdly, practicing living a life characterized by the peace of God. And that practice thing is going to be weird. Can you skip to the bottom of this page? And at the bottom of this page, each week, and that was the other document. Mike, I don't know if you were able to give any of those other ones copies.
The ones I pass out with double sided, so I'm...
Okay. So for some of you on the back, and for those of you that I passed out, I may need to give you... Who doesn't have one in the back?
Sorry.
So these were 50 cents?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take care of it.
Thank you. So the ones that don't have one in the back, sorry, I actually intended those not to be passed out the same, but I didn't tell Mike that, so it's okay. But here's the idea. If you look down at the bottom where you see it says to-dos, each week I am, will be passing out for you a one-page, simple page that you can use to take notes and ideas and just, you know, things that maybe help you think about how to bring peace into your life. And there are two other things on that handout. Those of you that have it, if you flip over to just look at that real quick. One of them is at the very, very bottom. It says, here are the scriptures for next week. Leonard Benson, I've got to give credit to this every single time I teach, changed the way I teach an adult class. Because what he said to me was, I cannot prepare for the normal adult classes. I need to be able to prepare. So you have scriptures that will tell you how you can think about and prepare for next week's class. But the other thing is, each week I'm going to ask you to try one of the to-dos that I have suggested. And these to-dos are things that can help you practice finding peace. And we'll talk more about those as we go along, okay? So that's kind of what I meant by the third objective of practicing living a life. And then if you look at the outline, today we're going to talk a little bit about introduction. What is the peace of God? Why do we seek it? What saps it from us, by the way? So that you know, so that I know, when I'm talking about the peace that God gives us, which I think is different than the peace that the world is seeking, I capitalize. Okay? So when you see capitalized on here, that means God's peace. Fair enough? So we're going to talk about that. Next week, we're going to talk about the God of peace specifically. You know, God refers to himself as peace. And we all know that Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. So let's understand that. Let's understand what that means and how does that play into our peace. Third week, we're going to talk about peace with God. We're going to understand what is the peace that he offers and how can we claim it. You know, I came across a really interesting scripture in Romans, which we'll talk about. It basically, at least as I understand it, said, God realized we weren't going to do this right, so we figured out a way that we could do it. And, you know, and I think that has a lot to do with peace, so we'll talk more about that. And then we're going to talk about three areas of peace that are kind of related to having peace with ourselves. So peace of heart, I call it, mind and soul. But here's the idea. The fourth week, we're going to talk about guilt. But yeah, I don't know about you, but for me, that gets in the way of my peace. Is that getting in the way of your peace?
Yeah.
The next week, we're going to talk about anxiety and worry. So peace of mind. And then peace of soul, which is, how can I fight against depression? Again, some of us are more inclined to do that. And I think the Bible gives us a solution. Now, I'm not saying it's going to avoid depression. But as I said, I think what God's peace is about is how to address these issues of regret and depression that are going to come into our lives. And then eventually, hopefully, we'll start to avoid them. But I think there's some clues there. And then we'll talk about peace with fellow man here. So week 7, 8, we're going to talk about peace at home, peace at work. So peace at home is like, how can I live at peace with my spouse and my children? How do I find peace in my career and workplace? Then week 9 would be peace in our finances. How can I have peace when trying to make ends meet month to month, week to week, year to year? Yeah? Okay. Then we're going to talk about, and probably will be the last of our class, just because, again, we started, per my issue, 3 weeks behind, but peace during hard times. So how do we find peace even when times don't look very good? When we're ill, when we're lonely, when we're, frustrated, when we've suffered a loss. And then the other three topics that I originally designed, and we'll probably just go ahead and record a little, at least a lesson on it, is peace in our community. That's how do I live at peace with others with whom I do not agree. You're jumping the gun here, but I'm going to give you that option in just a moment. Stephen. Now I know why they stoned Stephen. peace in our community, as I said, peace in the age of violence. You know, again, when I was a kid, I don't remember all this stuff happening. It's happening now, like the school shootings and this and that and everything else. And then lastly, sharing God's peace. So how can I share the peace God provides with others? So this was my, and what I started to say is draft outline. Because I am very open, actually, to switching these around if you think one is more important than another. There were a few that I thought were really critically important. I do want us to deal with the pieces with God, those pieces, and the ones associated with self, but how we deal with the fellow man, homework, community, violence. If you've got feedback for me, let me know. I'm willing to move those around if you think they'd be more useful for you. Okay, so do you understand the outline? Okay? Understand what we're going to do with the outline? Good. I'm also going to say, as I always tell my students when I'm teaching at school, is I have the option to change this anytime I choose to. Because truthfully, we could spend 2 semesters on this. And I'm not sure how quickly some of these topics will go. So, this is what I've committed to try to keep to, because I have a personal bias about if I commit to accomplish something in 13 weeks, we're going to be done in 13 weeks rather than keep going. Unless there's something that drives it differently. Okay, do you understand that? Now again, let's talk just a moment about these two do's. And now, do all of you have the other page? No? Yes? All of you, but...
We ran out.
Is there at least one I could have for a moment? Here's one. Okay. Bingo.
You didn't get one. Anybody not get one?
But let's just look at this real quick. Again, here's the idea. I'd really like for this to be not only just a discussion or a theory class, if you will, but we would also spend a little time and try to apply some things. And so, for example, this is next week's homework. I hesitate using that word, but let's call it what it is. This is next week's homework. And you'll notice at the top,
There's a little survey that I'd like you to do. I'll talk more about that near the end of class. And then you'll see to-dos down here. There are four, pick two, try them a little bit this week, and see if it starts to help with peace. I got ideas relative to how to use scripture. I got ideas about how to use your cell phone. I got ideas about exercise. I got a whole series of things that we'll just keep listing for you each week so you can start thinking about that. Okay, and then as I mentioned, it's really important. These are the scriptures that you can review for next week, and it'll get us a head start on that conversation. Is that okay? Any questions, concerns, or emotional outbursts? You know, it's funny. There is a midterm, that's right. The final will be in heaven. We're going to all get in one corner and see how peaceful we had been.
As long as I don't have that dream about way bigger class.
No. I want to give you peace in that, Jim. So there is no final. There is no exam. But I don't know. I'm hoping that we can just make this a very practical conversation. Fair enough? Okay. So. Is there a word that you think of, let's just say from Hebrew, when someone says peace? Shalom. And is it still used today?
Yes.
Yes, it is. And how is it used today? It's often used as a greeting, and it's both hello and goodbye. But what does shalom mean? Peace. Yeah, but what does shalom mean? Jim?
It has the implication of completeness, being whole, having everything that makes you a complete person, a complete child of God.
Completeness. Now that's an interesting concept for peace. And actually, I think it may be a pretty good definition for what we're talking about here. Let me share with you a couple things that I learned about shalom. Let's see here. I'm just going to read to you a couple references that I found that you might find interesting. Most know the Hebrew word shalom as understood around the world to mean peace. However, peace is only a small part of the meaning. Shalom is used to greet people and to bid them farewell. It also means much more than just hello or goodbye. So shalom is more than simply peace. It is complete peace. It is a feeling of contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. Strong's Concordance, you know Strong's Concordance? That's the one that, you know, connects everything in the world, it seems. Pretty good, actually. Talks about it, and it says, shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, and the absence of agitation or discord. You want it? Yeah, I take it. You know, if someone offered a little bit of peace to me, yeah. Comes the root word means to be complete, perfect, and full. And it's connected to the Hebrew words that means shalem, to pay for, and shalom means to be fully paid. We're going to come back and talk about that more next week. But isn't it interesting that peace, meaning to be complete, is similar to the word of being paid for and fully paid. Interesting. Thoughts, let's see. Completeness, safety, soundness, welfare, prosperity, friendship, peace from war, but it's just not the traditional feeling of peace. In fact, one rabbi I found kind of described it this way. He capitalizes the distinctiveness of Roman peace and of Hebrew shalom. Roman peace, one can dictate a peace. You know what I mean? So once the war is over, the winner says what? Here's what peace will look like.
You stay on that side of the car, and you stay on that side.
There you go.
And
notice only the people with young children laugh. Shalom, however, is a mutual agreement. Peace, the traditional type of peace, is a temporary pact. Right? There was a World War II, which came after World War I. Right? Because at one point that peace went away. Shalom, however, is a permanent agreement for peace. The Roman, he calls it the Roman peace, or the peace that I think the world talks about. One can make a peace treaty. And shalom is the condition of peace. Peace can be negative, and it's the absence of commotion in a kind of Roman way. However, shalom is very positive, and it's the presence of serenity. So we tend to think of peace as the absence of conflict. Shalom says it's the presence of serenity. Again, you may think I'm just splitting hairs, but to me that's significant. Different. The Roman peace can be partial. You know, we have a partial peace, whereas shalom is whole. And Roman peace can be piecemeal, he said, whereas shalom, by definition, is complete. So here's kind of the core idea for the class. Where I give the class is, a lot of people will say, I want peace, I'm seeking peace. I don't think a lot of people know what they're really asking for. And it won't surprise you just for the teacher of a Bible class to say, and the only way we're going to find it is through God's word and God's revelation of who he is. In this conversation. So, you know, a lot of people get up in arms about, well, let's just pick something, you know, North Korea, right? We could lose our peace. Technically, we could fight a war, yeah. But we already are fighting wars, and I'm not sure that suggests, by definition, we therefore are going to lose peace. If we understand peace in capital letters. Does that make sense? But I don't know about you. It's really, really, really hard for me. I can acknowledge it. It's hard for me to find it. And I think the reason why it's hard is part of the reason why I put some of these to-dos in this class. I'm not going to ask you to answer this question. I'm just going to ask you to think about it for a second. When you first wake up in the morning, okay, there's usually some biological needs you need to take care of. I get that. What's the second thing that you do?
Thank God.
Good for you. I appreciate that answer. That's twice she's gone to the very end of this class. No, you're right. I appreciate that. That's great. And a lot of people do, and I appreciate that. But let me ask you, you know, as you're preparing for breakfast, do you read the newspaper before you read the Bible? How many times a day do you look at your cell phone? I'm going to share with you some statistics that will blow you away. The number of times people look at their cell phone on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to tell you, for me, one of the things that saps my strength and saps my peace is my cell phone. I'll tell you something else. What else saps your strength? Let me ask that, and I'll tell you what. Exactly. I was about to say that. You hear what you said? Watching the news. Now, it's important, right? We've got to watch the news. Who said, first of all? But I understand that there's a need and things like that. But Christine knows this about me. She likes to watch, I think it's the 6:30 news, right? Lester Holt. You know, by the way, Lester Holt's a member of the church.
Yes.
Yeah. Good guy. However, I can't watch it. It drives me nuts. Right? It saps my peace. I don't know why, but it does. What else saps peace?
I was going to say, I only watch it to find out if we're at war with somebody.
Yeah, okay. Or you're watching it to see if peace is gone, right? I get it, yeah. What else saps your peace?
Worrying about things you can't control.
Worrying about things you can't control. Absolutely. I heard work. Someone said work snaps your peace. Yeah, absolutely. You know? 30 years I worked for the man. Now I am the man. I work for myself and, you know, other than my boss being a jerk sometimes. But it is a different experience. But I gotta tell you, I don't know about you, but my father, wonderful man that he is, ingrained in me a work ethic that I am constantly concerned about what I haven't done and what I need yet to do. I don't feel complete at work. I don't feel when I watch the news. See, I told you that cell phone. It's making me smug.
Yeah,
see?
Look, first, it inspired me when you said social media. But the thing about social media that has made me think of why it snaps your peace is it sparked in me the thing that's the most, the things that snaps it away from me is negativity. Negativity just brings me down. And by itself, and the fact that I hate negativity, and so when I see it, it just makes me go, boom. So it makes me negative, so negativity.
I was going to say, Steve, yeah, I get your point though, right? And ironically, because of social media today, we now have a situation where you don't have to own your negativity anymore. You can just throw it out there. Right? What else saps your peace?
Family
situations. Sure, family situations, right? Conflicts, perhaps, or people that aren't where they need to be with God, or, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can sap your peace associated with that. I get that. What else?
Too many to-dos.
Too many to-dos. Absolutely. And I just added two more. Absolutely. Can I go back to that a second and tell you something? Here's the deal. Here's the deal with the to-dos. And here's the reason why I did that. I appreciate that. But here's the reason why I did that. If you don't choose to change something, then don't come to me at the end of this class and say your peace hasn't changed. It's going to take some kind of action. Okay, enough of my defensiveness. I know, that was cute. What else? What else?
Death.
What?
Death.
Death, sure. Sure, right? Or illness. Or, I mean, you know, we're all just hanging on with the Fields family and what's going on and those issues. And I have a friend of mine, a workmate, last Sunday actually, I went to his wife's funeral. He said, at 6 o'clock in the evening, he talked to her, and she was on her way to go bowling. 6:30, called her, she said she wasn't feeling well, she called 911. By midnight, she was gone. They had no idea why. You know, they did an autopsy. Wasn't her heart, wasn't her brain, wasn't her lungs, we had no idea. Wow, right? Yeah, that'll zap your peace. Sure, what else? Anything else?
It gets back to what Larry was saying about not being in control, but also uncertainty. There's 16 different ways something could go, and I don't know which way it's going
to
be.
Right. Trying to make it, and trying to make a choice in that, right? The ambiguity that goes on, and trying to make a choice in that, it's really hard to have, you know, to have peace.
Expectations.
Sure. Of yourself, and probably what other people have expectations of you as well. Very good point. Yeah. Earl?
Sure. Anguish, mental or physical.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. There are people that are struggling with terrible physical issues moment to moment, day to day. That's a peace sapper. Yeah. And all of those things. So we only have a couple minutes left in class. But that's what we're going to try to do. But for the last 2 minutes, I want you to go to the first page there, and we're going to spend it with what I guess I'm going to call the core scripture for this workshop, which is from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. Now, you know this scripture. In fact, many of you probably, as I start to read it, could almost recite it with me. However, there are things in this scripture that are extremely insightful. There was an understatement, right? Saying that the Bible is insightful. I'm sorry, you know. So here's what Philippians 4, 4 to 9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice.
Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put in practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There's a lot of stuff in this scripture. You know, we tend to go to the one that says, don't be anxious about anything. But I also think that there may be clues about peace in rejoice always. There may be clues about let your gentleness be evident. There may be clues about presenting your requests to God. There may be clues about whatever is noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, thinking on those things. So these are the kind of things we're going to talk about during this workshop for the next 10 weeks. Earl, you have something?
The Lord is at hand.
There you go. The Lord is at hand, yes. So there's some assignment for next week. And again, I recognize that if this is like a traditional adult class, that maybe two of you will try those two dues. But I'm going to ask you to just give it a try. They're not hard. They won't take a lot of time. But you'll notice a couple things. If you look at those to-dos very quickly, one of them, I thought I had one. Yeah, I gave mine away. Let me borrow somebody's real quick. Thank you. But you'll notice the to-dos. These scriptures that I have listed for you here, these are very short but very powerful scriptures. Don't memorize them all, unless you'd like to, but pick one. And what I'm going to suggest is, like I said, pick a scripture. Pick one scripture. And as you think about it, think about it. Use it to help with your meditation. Schedule 20 minutes a day to take a short walk. Here's the key with that. Alone. Well, you can take the dog, I guess. Nobody to be talking to you and with you, and you know, you're going to be thinking about it.
No self-talk.
Exactly. Listen to more music and less advice. I love that. Listen to more music and less advice. And spend 15 minutes a day of instrumental, and I say specifically without words. So if you like jazz, fine. If you like Baroque, fine. If you like classical, fine. If you like blues, fine. Well, whatever you like, just find something without words. Why? Because you'll get into words, right? I mean, that's just our natural tendency. And lastly, if you can, one of the things you could choose to do is to define a phone free time each day, maybe 30 minutes, and sleeping doesn't count for that 30 minutes. Although I can tell you, a lot of folks sleep with the cell phone right here, and every time it rings, what happens? I gotta look. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll dismiss. Father, thank you for being a God of peace. Father, thank you for wanting us to live a peaceful life and providing for us the only way we can find peace. And we ask this through the Prince of Peace. Amen.